Welcome to Faith and Victory Church. Faith and Victory Church is an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. We welcome all who love to worship God and those who wish to deepen their relationship with Him. Pastors Matt and Crystal Krachunas are inviting you to come worship with them and the congregation of Faith and Victory Church this Sunday. To find out more about Faith and Victory Church, check out our website, www.faithandvictory.com. You will find that there is something for everyone at Faith and Victory Church. Now join us for the Spirit-filled message.
All right, so I want you guys just, here, let's just settle in for a second, all right? You guys start looking. We are not a 12 o'clock church, okay? We never have been. I'm going to preach what God put on my heart, but I give you a 12:20 guarantee. How's that, huh? There's no more announcements to be had. There's no more special anything. We took care of everything. So now, is there another announcement? What is it? Yes, there is a mission meeting right after church, but Uncle D was going to take care of that. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you, praise you, we glorify you in the powerful name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent it to us and that you use it to direct us, to convict us, and to comfort us. God, we pray today that you would use it as such, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So today we're going to be talking about hope, because it is the first Sunday of Advent, and that Sunday is hope. And the Bible says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But the reality of daily living on this earth is that oftentimes we are far from sure and far from certain. Amen? Amen. Even as believers in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in the pits of despair, not having any hope, not having any certainty, not being sure of the things in our lives. Oftentimes those things become very, very evident in the time of Christmas. Yeah. The fact that we truly don't have the hope that we thought that we had, that we have been longing for our whole entire lives. We live each day, hour by hour, with a waning hope that seems fleeting. Sometimes it gets so bad that people come to the point where they even wonder whether or not they want to live. And it truly does happen to the best of us. And it's a wonderful time of year. Amen? It's a time for celebration. It's a time to be excited about what God has done in sending Jesus. And we do Advent so that we can have a clear path to Christmas. We serve, we give, we focus on those things that we should focus on, but that still we don't have that hope that we're hoping for. Well, today the message that I want to share with you is how to have more hope. Amen. The scripture that we're going to be going from this morning is found in 1 Peter. You can turn there with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. And I know that for some of you say, well, it's Christmas, we should be talking about the Christmas story. This whole Bible is a Christmas story. Amen. So today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 13. Say amen if you're there. Amen. That's close enough. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Amen. So in the beginning of this scripture, it says, do not fear what they fear. And it's easy to read that. It's easy to say that, to think it's a great idea. But the reality is, it is often hard to not fear. Come on, folks, help me out here. The reality is that it, for some reason, during the Christmas season, the things in our life that usually don't seem that big appear huge during the holiday season. And I'm not exactly sure what it is, but the calendar changes to December 1st. The lights come out, the trees go up, and all the things in your life that weren't that small in the middle of summer now all of a sudden have become this big, huge thing. If you are lonely, you become more aware of it. If you're having money issues, you become more aware of it. If you're having health problems, they seem bigger. And I don't know what it is, but maybe it is the huge contrast that seemingly, and I say that word lightly, seemingly exists with what we see on television and what we see in our own lives. The scripture this morning says, in your hearts do not fear, and we try to live that out, but it's hard. Amen? On the television show, and I don't know, or even on a commercial, for some reason, all the commercials have these ruggedly handsome people wearing cable knit like turtleneck sweaters in front of a roaring fire, drinking cocoa, having the time of their lives. Right? And there's a Lexus with a bow outside in the snow in the driveway. And you look at that and you think, that is not my life. You're in Seattle, in the rain, by yourself, eating a frozen dinner with a vehicle that's barely holding on in the driveway. And you look at everybody else's seemingly good life through the lens of the television and you think, man, must be nice. And then the news is always bad. And I don't know why, it just seems worse during Christmas. Stories of pain and of murder and despair. Everybody says the economy is no good and the prices are up and hiring is down. And then they take your Twinkies away from you. You know, they talk about the end of the world at December 21st. The end of the world has already happened, my friends. No Twinkies, no world, no hope. But we do have Krispy Kremes, amen. It's enough to scare anyone into fear, isn't it? I mean, I joke about Twinkies, but there's a part of you on the inside that says, man, if Twinkies ain't safe, how's my job safe? Right? You look around and you say, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to keep my job. Will the money keep coming in to be able to provide for me and my family? Is my health going to hold up? For some reason, people get sick during Christmas and all you think is, man, I'm going to be the one that's going to get sick. Start worrying, is my family going to abandon me? The people that I love, are they going to leave me? Given enough time, you can make up whatever you need in your head to begin to fear. It doesn't take that long. Amen, somebody. Come on. I know that for myself. Given enough time and enough things going into my brain, I can work up into a pretty good worry. And then what happens is that you start to fear. You start to wonder. You start to think, man, what's going on in my life? Mm-hmm. But now, the hope of nations appears. The angel of the Lord cries out, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. We, as followers of Jesus, have nothing to fear. Amen? We should not be afraid. And I get that. That's what the scripture says. But sometimes it's easy to give yourself over to it, isn't it? Come on, man. Please don't tell me I'm the only one that gives myself over into fear. But this scripture says, and this is an important part of it, it says, but even if you should suffer for what is right. And I'll tell you, sometimes that sounds just about right. Sometimes it feels like the reason that we don't have hope, we almost feel justified in it. You know, I'll tell you why, Mr. Jesus, I don't have any hope. It's because I'm doing the right thing and I feel like I'm suffering. You guys are so righteous. You know, I'm so self-righteous. You know what happens in my life is that, I don't know if you guys notice this, I'm a pastor. And so it's really easy to kind of get this righteous indignation of like, well, I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm paying my tithes and I'm serving people and I'm putting other people first and I'm laying my life before you. And then you look at all these other people that seem to be getting all these blessings you thought were supposed to come to you, and you kind of get this kind of like, huh, I'm doing the right thing and I'm suffering. And maybe you guys don't know what that's like, but I'll tell you, in my life, that's just how it is. Looking at somebody that seemingly is getting blessed, that appears to be getting a blessing. Somebody that I look at and I think, man, how come the godless always seem to prosper and God's people have to drive a bucket? Why is that? I'm just keeping it real. I know you guys sit there and you're at the stoplight, look at somebody with a nice car and say, man, God bless them. They deserve it. It can anger you if you let it. It'll strike fear in your heart. Because you say, man, if the unrighteous are like that and my life's like this, what's happening to me? But Peter says, if you should suffer, you are still blessed. Even if you suffer for doing right, you are still blessed. Suffering can be and is part of the Christian life. You're going to suffer at some point. Some of y'all will be like, at what point? Because it seems like my whole life has just been suffering. 1 Peter 4:16, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name.
Amen. Amen.
So for those of you that are sitting here this morning, you can identify with a sense of hopelessness. You can identify with a sense of suffering for doing right. We find an answer for that in this scripture in Peter. A way to rekindle that Christmas hope that we need. And you know what he says? It's right there in verse 15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. That's the answer for hopelessness. If you are sitting here this morning and you are lacking hope, the answer to increase your hope in your life is this. It's to set apart Christ as Lord. I believe that Jesus made himself your Savior, but you have to make him your Lord. You have to set him as such. You have to give him control. That's what makes him Lord. Let me tell you this, church. If Jesus doesn't control your life, he is not your Lord. You are. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and yourself as Lord. Because when you give somebody lordship, you give them kingship. And a king is a ruler. And a ruler makes the decisions.
Yeah, come on.
And standing before God and wanting to receive the blessing of salvation and not in return making him your Lord kind of minimizes the impact that the salvation truly had on you. Amen?
Yeah.
It is a declaration and a mindset to set him over as Lord over your heart. And I got to tell you, man, as a guy that's been serving God for longer than a week, it takes all day, every day, daily decision to keep him as Lord over every area of your life.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time decision. It happens one time, but it is a continual, constant, pervasive sense of dying to self. Amen?
Right.
Now, there's areas of the heart that are prone to despair or hopelessness.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the Scripture says, in your heart. Because it's the areas of our heart that actually create these feelings of hopelessness in our lives. That's where it starts. It's that area of our heart that we start to feel lonely. That happens a lot in the Christmas season, doesn't it? And I'll tell you why. It's because we perceive that everyone has a ton of family and plans and parties and fun that we don't have. Nobody else is with me on this. You guys are like, it's you. It's like, that's me, man. Life, party, fun, what? It's you that's not coming. I like to call it the Facebook factor. Have you ever had this experience before? You're going through your newsfeed and you see a picture of your whole family out without you? And somebody's having a birthday or an event and they say, man, just out with my family. And they see a picture and you're like, funny, I'm not in that picture. How are they out with the whole family and I'm not there? And so then what happens is you start to get this lonely feeling in your heart of like, well, everybody else seems to have everything else in the world when it comes to family and friends and parties and everything else except for me. So what do? We go throw ourselves a pity party. Amen? I'm really good at this. I call it the nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms. It's easy to give yourself over to that party. So then we start to feel in our hearts the sense of being destitute. Because of the consumer nature of the holidays, we begin to believe that because we don't have something, we are destitute. Let me help you understand something, folks. The point of Christmas is not going to be found in an insert in your newspaper or in a commercial on your television screen. Okay? The goal of the American economy is to suck you dry of every last dollar that you have over the next 25 days. And they will have done their part to bring Christmas cheer into their back pockets by getting you to have none in yours. And so then what happens is that because they have set the bar is that the consumer-minded mentality is what makes Christmas, is that as a parent or as a friend, you get the sense, well, because I couldn't buy whoever this thing that plugs into the wall to put underneath the tree, that I'm destitute, that I'm not good enough. Folks, I reject that in Jesus' name. Amen. There is nothing that you need to plug into a wall to make you feel like you have value in this world. I don't have a good enough place to live. I don't have the right car. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have the right stuff. I don't have the right electronics. I need the family in front of the fire on the TV with the Lexus and the billowy shirts and the cocoa. Seems as though everyone else has more than you. And maybe it's not even the extras. Maybe you don't need the iPhone 5. You just need to be able to pay your phone bill. Maybe you're like, man, I don't need a Lexus. I just need a tank of gas. Man, I don't need a new place to live. I just got to pay for the one I got. But then you get this feeling of just, man, I'm so destitute. I feel like I just don't have anything that I need in this world. It starts in the heart. And what happens, you start to get this sense of hopelessness. So you're lonely and you're destitute. Then it moves over to this next phase of feeling inferior.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sense of everyone is happy but me.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
I feel so inferior to everybody else. Everyone seems to have their life together but me. I'm worthless. I'm nothing. Everyone's living the dream but me. It's this perception that if I wasn't where I was and I had more than I had, then I wouldn't be where I am and I would be where they are. And I wouldn't feel so inferior. Come on. Help me out here. I know you. It's so funny. I'd be preaching these messages. I always wonder, who is this for? Because I say those type of things. People are so afraid. And I'll tell you, in my own life, I feel inferior quite often. And it's not what anybody else does to me. It's what I do to myself in here.
Amen. Yeah.
And I share that with you. Don't take no pity on me. It's not for your pity. It's because I want you to understand that you're not alone in feeling that way. And it doesn't matter what you have.
That's right.
What you have is not what's going to make you feel superior or inferior. It's about a revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
But 1 Peter says, set Christ as Lord. Give Him control. Yield your need to control every situation in your life. Jesus is Lord over all of those situations. Jesus is Lord over your loneliness this morning in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord over a destitute mindset. Jesus is Lord over any feelings of inferiority. There is a remedy for a hopeless life. There is a remedy for a feeling of hopelessness during Christmas. And I'm fixing to give you the complete answer. Amen. It says, be prepared with an answer. There is an answer. The answer for hopelessness is setting Christ as Lord. That's the answer. You say, well, man, I thought I was going to win the lottery last Wednesday. It didn't happen. Okay? You would have called me and been like, Pastor, wait till you see this tithe check on Sunday. You give yourself, people say, what does it mean to set Christ at Lord? As Lord, hear me on this, church, okay? You give yourself wholly and completely over to Jesus in every and all situations of your life.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it means to set Jesus as Lord. It's like marriage. And it's a great example. How are you kind of married? Either you are fully married or you are not fully married. And most of the problems in marriage is because people don't give themselves fully over to the marriage. They maintain a sense of selfishness. My wants, my needs, my plans, what I want. You can't bring that to your relationship with Jesus. The call of Jesus is, give me every last bit of your life. People say, well, how do I do that? How do I give Jesus control over my life? Let me tell you. You pray and you talk to God and you put it before Him. And people say, well, how do you put it before Him? Well, you have a conversation and say, you know what, Jesus, there's this area of my life that I'm struggling with, and it's basically my whole life. And I just want to give you control over that, Jesus. And you're not gonna and here's what happens is you continue to do that to this point, and I can't explain it, but some of you know what I'm talking about. There's this release that happens. That like all of a sudden, like your tummy goes from to I really just gave myself over to it. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so when you set Him as Lord, you give up this sense of self, this sense of having to control these areas of your life. And, I mean, honestly, how long do you have to control it till you realize that you can't do it? Amen?
Yeah, come on.
You have to give over every single area. That area inside of you that you think that being good is going to get you to heaven. Because then what happens is you just worry about you not being good enough. Let me tell you, if you think your goodness is going to get you to heaven, you're wrong. There's no goodness in you. The only goodness that you have is the goodness of Jesus Christ. But you start to worry about it, get fearful about it. You say, man, if Jesus came back today, I wouldn't go. Because I'm not good enough. It's true. If it was dependent on your goodness, you wouldn't go today. Laps, Lake of Fire, party one, you. But if you give Jesus as Lord over your life, you don't have to worry about that. Amen?
Amen?
Give over that area of your life where you have that pressure of being a part of a family. Man, I got to tell you, man, and I'm not trying to say that being a woman ain't hard, but being a man is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Finally get some amens. You know what's so hard? Like we got to be, listen, these are all the different hats we got to wear, right? We got to be a good provider. We got to be a good husband. We got to be a good dad. You got to have good friends. You got to have a hobby that you're good at. So you're talking about stuff with guys to get this sense of you're cool because you're good at something. And then at some point, you have to like have time to do whatever it is you need to do to take care of your house and take care of your cars and do all this other stuff. And all the women are like, well, wait, let me tell you about what we got to do. It's fine. Go start you a church and some Christmas you can preach a sermon on what it's like to be a woman. For me, I'll tell you, it's hard to be a guy. I'm sure it's equally as hard to be a woman. I don't know what it's like, but I'm sure it's hard. But there's a fear. Yeah, you got to be perfect, right? There's this sense of this fear of I can't handle it. Give that over to Jesus. And for women, I know you guys have all those same pressures. Give it over to Jesus. If you're the provider in your family, that fear of not being able to provide for your family.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but sometimes the month ends and I'm just like, whew. Hopefully we can do it next month.
Oh, yeah.
That need, this is for you, listen. This need for others' approval.
Yeah, come on.
How many times do you go and make decisions just because you want somebody else that you don't really even care about that much to approve of the way that you're living your life?
Yeah.
Give that over to Jesus. That worry about things to come. You know what? You can't control anything about tomorrow. Nothing. You have to give all of this over to Jesus. You have to do whatever it is that He asks you to do. Some people say, man, Pastor Matt, you preach such hard sermons. That's because every day I'm just like, die to self. Die to self. That's the only way that we can have victory is you have to die to self.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the Army. Interestingly enough, I shared that a few times. And my brother, I was in the military and I served in the Army. My brother, he was kind of in the military. He was in the Air Force. Amen. And I know, don't say nothing about the Marines. I know you want to say something. Don't even say nothing. And I remember when I went to go to basic training in the Army, my brother said to me, I said, man, what kind of advice do you have? And he said, you know what? Let me give you, there's one piece of advice. This is all you need to get through basic training. He said, do everything they ask you to do, no matter how stupid it sounds. And don't ask any questions. Just do it. He said, because you'll watch. You'll get there, and all the people that get in trouble are the ones that ask, why are we doing this? Same thing with giving your life to Jesus. And some people say, aren't we supposed to ask? You can ask questions to Jesus. It's fine, okay? The answers are going to be found in there. But so many times, the truth is that we want the benefits of Jesus. We just don't want to have to do what he says. Man, give me some blessings, Jesus, but do I have to do all of it? I just, a couple loopholes in there, I just kind of take out a couple pages, a couple scriptures. Man, given the choice to take out about five scriptures, I could find five that I could just whoop. Feel a whole lot better without those in there. I don't have to fully understand it. Why do I have to fully understand it? I just have to do what he asks of me. And I tell you, after living for Jesus over the last 20-some-odd years, I have found that he knows what he's doing. I just give him over control. It's actually kind of freeing. You don't have to worry about stuff. If you say, why do you do that? Oh, the Bible says to do it. I just do it. Well, you're a lemming. Well, lemming for Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I just don't care. I seem to be happy. You're not. What's the issue here? So you come and you say, Jesus, I feel lonely. Jesus, I don't feel like I have any friends. No one loves me and no one wants to be friends with me. And here's what Jesus says to your situation. He says, I am with you always. Amen. Even to the end of the world, I am with you always. Yeah. Jesus declares that he will always be with us through everything we could ever go through. We will not walk through it alone. Amen? Amen. You know, in James chapter 2, verse 23, it talks about Abraham. And in James it says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Right. What does righteousness mean? Righteousness means the right relationship. And it says that the greatest thing that Abraham did was that he believed God. He believed what God said, and he took it as truth. And so you know what happened after Abraham did this? James says that Abraham was called God's friend. And so you say, well, I'm lonely. I don't have any friends. Well, do what God's word says, and you'll become God's friend. I don't know about you. It's pretty awesome having God as a friend of yours. Amen? I got friends in high places. Amen? He was called God's friend because he believed in God. And as you are in your lonely situation, believe that Jesus is there with you and that you are a friend of God if you are truly giving yourself over to what God's word calls you to do. Amen? Amen. He's with you to comfort you through that time of loneliness. Now here's what's interesting too for some of you lonely people here this morning. Do you realize that one of the biggest problems with a lonely person is a lonely person keeps waiting for someone else to come around and love on them? They say, you know what? If someone would just come by and love on me, I wouldn't feel as lonely as I am. But you know what Jesus says in John chapter 15? He says, if you are my friends, you will do my commandments. And this command I give to you is that you would love one another as I have loved you. The greatest way to break loneliness in your life is to go out and find someone that needs love and to love on them. And for some reason, when you find that person that's lonely, that's lacking love, and you begin to love on them out of your emptiness and your brokenness and your obedience to God's word, all of a sudden this love raises up within you and all of a sudden you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit like you've never felt before. The cure to loneliness is setting Christ as Lord over that loneliness and loving people in Jesus' name. Quit worrying so much about others loving you and start loving other people. Amen. You say, Jesus, I'm worried about not having enough. And honestly, it's an honest worry. If you listen to half of what people say out there, it's all going to be gone by the end of the day today. Unless you know what the Word of God says about your situation. Amen. Luckily, you're here this morning. I'm going to share it with you. It's in Matthew chapter 6. You can turn there with me. Remember, I gave you a 12:20 guarantee. We're getting close to that time. Don't worry about it. If you had somewhere to be, you'd be there. Amen? All right. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And this is in red. All right. Jesus said it himself. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Hear this, church. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their lives?
Amen.
Don't worry about the stuff the world worries about. You know, I was singing this week. In fact, I was thinking, man, what would happen if all the electricity in the world stopped? And then I thought, you know what? 200 years ago, they didn't even have electricity. And somehow the human race carried on for thousands of years without anything that plugged into a wall. Yeah, it was some 200 years ago. They weren't like iPods. Yeah, when Iris was a kid. Amen. And she said it, not me. So like, why are you picking on Iris? Iris and Wally, man. Do you guys know they've been married for 60 years? Man. 61. You know, when people stay married like they're supposed to, it's like they did a magic trick. You know what I mean? So anyway, back to my sermon. The point is that even if you didn't have all this stuff that you think that you need, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Humans went for thousands of years without all this stuff that we think that we need. Don't worry that you won't be able to have this certain thing. You won't be able to be happy without it. Here's the part that hurts. This will feel good. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." And really, that's what happens. That you just, you know, man, I need to new this, new that. I'm just not going to be content with what I have. Freeing yourself from that is the quickest way to contentment. Here's my last point. Okay, Jesus, I feel inferior. And that sense of inferiority, really, just it can permeate through every relationship that you have. But here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. That's the whole entire gospel. And you think about that. You think, you know what, if I was God, and I'm not, but if I was, I would want people to look at me to see how righteousness looks like. I'd be like, I'm God. If you want to see what the best looks like, whew, right here. Right? But God doesn't say that because he's God and I'm not. What he says is, I'm going to take the most disgusting, vile, worthless thing that you've ever seen, and I'm going to put my son in him. And then I'm going to hold him up as the shining example of my righteousness.
Amen.
This is the example of my righteousness. You go around and you think, man, how can God use a worthless sinner like me? Because of what Jesus did on the cross for you.
Amen.
There is no need to feel inferior to anyone or anything. You have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. God said, the place that I want to live is inside of that wretched sinner. That's where I want to live. The Bible says you're the head and not the tail. The Bible says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is no reason for you to feel inferior to anyone or anything because of the God that lives inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
You may go through something, but you will not die. Amen? And even if you do die, you will live in Him, with Him, for eternity. You may suffer, you may hurt, you may go through the fire, but you go through the fire with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are not inferior to anyone or anything through Jesus. You are superior over the things of this world through faith in Him.
Amen.
Hold on to that hope today. Amen.
Yes.
As you set Christ over Lord of everything in your life, you will not fear as the world fears. You will not worry as the world worries. You will not live as the world lives. Amen.
Yes.
Do this. Close your eyes and bow your heads for me this morning. Now listen, I want to just ask you this morning. I want you to be honest with me. Brother Russ, did he leave?
He's up doing tithing.
He's up doing tithing. Praise God. Gabriel, get up there and play your guitar, metacrationally. Just adds it. I know I said 12:20. I ask for forgiveness. A couple more minutes. It's fine. Let the Holy Spirit do His work this morning. Okay? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Everyone. Everyone. Okay? If you are here this morning, okay? If you are here this morning, you would say, and I want you to be honest with your pastor, be honest with God for a minute, because I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to make an example out of you, but there is a power in declaring your need. If you're sitting here this morning, you would say, do you want, Pastor, I have felt so hopeless. I've given myself over to that. Would you just pray for me this morning? I want to pray for you. Would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I felt so hopeless. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're just admitting it to God, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me just pray for you. I ask right now, Father, in the powerful name of Jesus, God, that you would send your comfort to your people. God, that you would put a spirit of hope upon them like they have never experienced in their life before. God, those areas of their heart that they have given over to despair, those areas of their heart they have given over to fear, I come against them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak peace. I speak contentment. I speak joy. I speak assuredness. Father, as your word declares that you will give us a sense of sure hope in you. And God, I speak it over your people today, God, in Jesus' name. God, those areas of their lives they feel hopeless about, that they feel as though there's no one else in this world that can fix it but you. God, we pray that you would fix them right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, bring your comfort. Holy Spirit, bring your peace. God, we worship you this morning for your goodness, and we just pray for an encouraging spirit upon your people this morning, God. The hope of nations. In Jesus' name, amen.